Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard while we sing our song. Rub, 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 play and sing along. Mm-hmm. You got that rubbing part? Catch this. This is patching. Here we go. Pat your head just like this.
Good morning, everybody. This is your host, Alessandra Maria Iveroni, and this is another glorious episode of Growing Good on Heritage Radio Network. Today, I am delighted to have an amazing guest with me inside the studio, our very own bread baker at Roberta's Restaurant, where our station airs out of, Melissa Weller. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Alessandra.
Maria. People call me Maria sometimes. I'm so happy, and I just want to say I'm very grateful. Last night, we had a big party for the station. We hit our 100th episode mark, lots of our shows. I, of course, am the rookie, the new parent. This is our 29th episode today.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So I'm getting up there. But we have also amazing news on the station. We are finally a not-for-profit organization, which means that the government acknowledges that what we're doing is very important. So I just wanted to congratulate the station and my producers and Patrick at Heritage Foods USA and all of our efforts. It's a great day and I'm feeling great. And as usual, it's because of my guests. They keep my bar high. Melissa is going to be talking with us about cooking with her toddler in the kitchen and sharing some amazing recipes with us and also some preservatives to get yourself through the winter season. But to start the show, first we have a tradition where you introduce your miracle, Melissa.
My miracle.
Yeah.
Okay. My miracle is Wyatt Weller. He's 20 months old and he's fabulous and a big growing boy.
Yes. And we've been able to run into each other in the park sometimes. And Melissa and I, Wally is also 23 months. We happen to have boys that are in the 95th percentile.
Yes, definitely.
And so I hate this word, the terrible twos, because, you know, nothing is terrible about our children. And it's not meant that they're terrible at two. It's just to let you know that being two is terrible. So it's not them. It's the milestone. But, you know, we've been dealing with some things. And when I approached Melissa to do a show, she immediately wrote me back and said, oh, you know, I totally love to, you know, involve my son in kitchen. And I had heard from Montessori education, and I've read in my research of Waldorf Steiner educations, that they all really persuade adults to have your child participate in the development of food. And this is why, along with some other things that I found. So I'm going to read you a little bit to introduce, and then we'll give the mic over to Melissa. The terrible twos, as the Montessori environment calls 2 to 3 years, quickly dawn in. But you need not fear for this transitional change for your child. It can be handled. There are strategies that may help this period be a smooth transition for your parents and for the child. This can be done by giving children choices to avoid power struggles and giving them opportunity to do the tasks suggested and allowing them themselves to accomplish things independently. So if you're experiencing temper tantrums, they're going to give us a couple tips, activities that you can start to imply in your day. So obviously this blows my mind because I didn't know, and I got to find out just to research for today. So I'm very excited. At this stage, between 2 and 3 years, children need to be given more independence as they grow up. This can be shown in the environment, how one arranges it such that the child can independently accomplish things for himself. So they mean like clean up, etc. This then gives him or her the sense of accomplishment and in turn develops a high self-esteem. So you're getting two for two here. The key is to set up the environment in which he or she can succeed to be able to do things by himself safely. For young child, things may have to be set up step by step by you, the parent, which may be slow and tedious for the adults, but is indispensable for a child who is learning. So here are four activities that they give you to deal with the terrible twos. One is bedroom activities. The child at this age can have their own bed. If it is too high and you're scared they may fall, a mattress can still be put on the floor. For if when the child falls, you can just put like a blanket or a rug there or some pillows. But you may notice that when this happens, once the child will learn from that experience, they'll actually develop their independence in sleeping in their own bed. So I know this is very hard because you want your children near you. I actually sleep with my son. It's terrible, I know. But it's going to be a lot harder on me than it is on him. But I have to remind myself that, you know, it's good for his development. Toys can each be separated by its type in a basket that will contain all of its parts. Allow your child to be able to see what they are choosing to play with without really making a mess. Children at this age need external order to be able to develop their own sense of internal order. Have his or her toys in a low shelf where they can access it easily if they choose to. At this stage, teach your child to put things away when they are finished. They love this. They really do, because when I tell Wally, put this in the garbage, or he gets so excited, and I've just recently learned that. So tasks make them really happy. This also lets them contribute to the order in their environment. Making cleaning up a habit as early as now is just good habits for the future to be maintained for life. So have a small drawer for your child's clothes. This will allow them to choose what they want to wear for the day, as they may start to show their preference. Give your child limited choices so they will still dress appropriately for the weather. So basically what they're saying is create a drawer, and it's more work for you, but if you already know what your child wants to wear, what they're saying is you can actually put the outfit in the drawer and then trick them into thinking that they're picking the outfit for themselves, mm-hmm. instead of dealing with the tantrum of getting dressed by the front door all over the floor. So this is just something super simple. They also talk about teaching them how to make their bed first thing in their morning and organize the toys around their sleeping the way that they want it, which might be different than the way you like it, you know, aesthetically, but this will also help their tantrums. The second thing is bathroom. By now, there should be a bedtime routine to include in bathroom time. This is a time they may sit on the potty or wash their hands, teach them to brush their teeth, for the child to have access to the sink and potty, so have a small lightweight stool. So this is a time you want to implement a bathroom stool so that they feel involved. Place their toothbrush and toothpaste in such a way that they can access it themselves, as opposed to you giving it to them and shoving it in their mouth. So that's another fun thing. And for bath time, have a small bottle of shampoo and soap for the child to be able to use for himself. So this is not something that I do. I put the soap in myself and then I take it away because I'm like, well, you can't play that. So what they're saying is go out of your way to put it in a little bottle so that if they use the whole bottle, it's not that big of a deal. But again, it's giving them independence, and apparently this is going to help with the terrible twos. Another one is the living area. In this area, one can have one small shelf for his toys that he or she may use with the family. So they're saying pick the safe toys, those toys that don't need supervision. Any independence, create that for them. One can also have a child-sized wooden table and chair, which we do, Wally loves that, for the child to be able to use for his or work play. So they're saying at this age, you want to make that area more visible. Maybe if it's in the corner now, put it in the middle of the room. It might not go again with your decor or what you're used to, but you're wanting to highlight those areas of independence. And then lastly, which was what has to do with today's show, is the dining area. Montessori says that at this stage, the child can eat the food that the family has. The child may also have meals with the family so that he or she can also absorb the proper social aspect of eating meals. Your child can be placed in a high chair together with the family. So they're saying you want to stop now having his chair in the middle of the kitchen or in a corner. They're saying you need to, you know, compromise and put it actually where you're sitting, and this will create better eating habits. If possible, have the child using the same table as the family. Remove the table that secludes him and have him pushed up to the family table. The child can also choose to eat in his own table and chair. So maybe that's their preference. A child can have his own success to a low drawer in the kitchen, which can contain his own utensils and plates. So this is, again, like the playing. You need to create a small kitchen area where you know there isn't sharp things so that he or she can be involved in setting up the table while you're cooking, or while you're cooking, you say, "Hey, can you give me a spoon?" And they grab the spoon. Obviously, it's not going to be the spoon that you need, but pretend and imagination comes into play. If the child is taught how to care for the dining things properly, handle things with care, they may surprise you. And if the child chooses to eat at his little table, there should be no fear for glasses to break, as it is a short distance to the ground. I use plastic glasses, so that doesn't even matter. This can also teach the child how to take care of their own plates and glass and spoons and forks. So you can involve your child in the cleanup after mealtime. A placemat with drawings of the plate, spoon, fork, and glass can also be used as a guide for table setting. That's really fun.
That's a good idea.
And so you can make one yourself. You don't have to spend the money. But again, like I said, I also looked up Waldorf Steiner Education, and they really, really promote involving your child in food preparation. Now, this is just something that I'm starting to do, but Melissa has a lot of experience. What are some of the things you do with your son?
Well, I guess we started really early.
Good, because you're a baker.
I love cooking at home, and that's what I do. And you know, whenever I can get him, like whenever he's doing something, I would just naturally gravitate and go make something quickly in the kitchen. And he wanted to be around me, and he wanted to know, hey, what's mama doing? Like, she's doing something in the kitchen. I want to do it too.
Right.
And so it quickly evolved into, he helps me out in the kitchen and he does something, and it prevents him from like destroying the apartment and tearing things up, because he's just really interested and really excited about what we're making. And it also started around the time when he could crawl up on things.
Oh my gosh, so early. That's exciting.
So as soon as he started to be able to crawl up on the kitchen chairs, he would stand up on the kitchen chair and he'd like be at the table and he'd want to get involved. And I guess that's when I started. So this was a little while ago.
Right.
And I'm like, well, what can he do so that he's not destroying everything and that it's safe for him to do?
Right.
And I'm like, well, let's just make granola. That's pretty simple and that's pretty easy. So we started to make granola together, and I would get the ingredients ready, and then he would pour them into the bowl and he would stir them around, and he loved it. Like,
right.
He just loved to make granola so much that he would pull up the chair and he would like point, I can't remember the word he was using for the granola, but he'd say aye aye, and he'd point to the granola and he'd just want to make it with me.
That's so cool. So you would separate, like, what is it, like fruits, nuts, and the oats?
Yeah, like the oats, and we'd have like oats and coconut and pumpkin seeds.
Whatever.
And then
presentation is what you're saying. You would make them separate so that it was more involved for him and give you more time to cook.
Yeah, I would let him totally do the mixing, and it was a way for me to get a cooking task done and also, you know, have him do something
in the kitchen with me.
And he just really enjoyed it. And then it just expanded from there, just because I'm just always busy trying to do something in the kitchen. I have like a KitchenAid stand mixer, but we have everything on Metro shelving.
Okay.
So like when
is Metro shelving?
Metro shelving is like that, like the wide, like shiny, like metal, like racks that you can just store things open in a kitchen.
Okay.
And so we were using these shelving units, like, because we have a kitchen that doesn't have that much, like that many cupboards,
right,
to store a lot of things. And so when he was really small and trying to get into everything, I tried to like childproof it as much as I could, but it's not completely childproof. It's like he can, like on the bottom of the shelving, well, there are all of the pans, the baking pans, and he can easily access those and play with them, but he's not, like, they're not dangerous and they're
fun. But they're loud and annoying.
They're loud and annoying, but he can sort of make believe to play with the pans. And ditto for my stand mixer. Like it's unplugged and it's like in a safe location, but he can still touch it. And he knows what it is and he knows what it does because he's been watching me do all of these things. And he'll start to point at it and he'll start to say, mix, mix, mix. And I'm like, well, how do I let a little toddler like be involved in a mechanical mixer?
Right.
And, you know, so I'll let him like put the things in the bowl and then I'll operate the mixer. He has to stand back, but he can still watch and he can still feel like he's participating in it. And he just loves it. Like he just loves to help out in the kitchen. And I guess the same goes with his eagerness to try foods too. Like,
but that's because you're involving him. Cause Wally is giving me so much problems now with the eating. I don't even, he used to be such a good eater because, you know, he used to just be able to sit there. Now, when your toddler becomes this age, they're so strong, especially our sons. If he wants to get out of his chair, it does become a danger to him. Yeah. He's so strong. He's trying to pull himself out, like, or he'll get a foot out and then he gets the foot stuck in the foot part.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's not so much like, oh, I put the baby down on the food and it's like, eat, and you're there, so you have to eat. He's got so much more independence. So that's so great that you've established, you know, a child that is eager to eat because of these exercises that you do.
I guess we started early, and only early because
that's your profession.
It's my profession
and your passion.
And, you know, I started with the baby purees, like making them at home. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all,
I did too. I never involved him in it. Shucks.
He stopped. I guess there was something around 9 months of age, which I thought was really early. And he just wouldn't eat. He wanted to feed himself. That's he was good. Like trying to be really independent, and I'm like, I've got to come up with finger foods. What do I do?
Yes.
And I don't want it to be, I want it to be something that is
good, not like french fries.
Yeah, exactly.
Which a lot of us parents revert to sometimes. It's like the finger food. So then you started making finger foods.
That's when I started making finger foods early, and I felt like the first few attempts were just boring, like, but I just didn't know what to do. And I started, I'd do sweet potato fries in the oven.
Right.
And I'm like, well, let's try that. It's sweet and it's mushy and you can cut it into small pieces. And even if you don't quite get it as small as you need to, at least it's mushy. And I was trying to think of like all of the foods that were mushy, that were small or that could cut up and there was not a choking hazard. And I came up with, and because one of the purees that I was making that he absolutely loved was spinach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, what can I do with spinach? And I came across this recipe for cream spinach. I'm like, well, that sounds good. Let me try making that.
Yeah.
And you could pick it up with your fingers. And he just inhaled it. I was like, wow, I'm on to something here. I'm like, maybe it's the special sauce. Because the cream spinach uses a bechamel sauce, which is like a milk-based sauce.
With the flour. I'm Italian, we're big on that sauce.
Awesome. Yeah. I love this sauce. This sauce has become a staple. If you add cheese to it and pasta, you've got instant macaroni and cheese.
You could
throw in some like steamed broccoli and you've got another dish that he could like, and I was doing all of this that he could pick up with his fingers, and I was using probably a lot of the bechamel. And so he just learned to like lots of vegetables. And then I guess at some point we started taking away the sauce because I just didn't have time to make it all the time. And I was just giving him like sauteed spinach.
Right.
Still, he'd devour it.
Right.
And it just continued and continued and continued.
So he wouldn't like paint with it though. He knew that he loved to eat it.
Put it in his face.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah, no.
But I'm interested in more of like also, and we're lucky because she's brought the cream spinach recipes with us, which she's about to share with us. But before we do that, any more stick finger foods that were good? Because I think that's really good.
I use sauteed zucchini.
Like, oh, you made sticks out of the zucchini?
At first I made sticks and then I just made it into rounds. And I know that I used to pack it.
Like sticks. Things that are round still freak me out. I'm
really?
Just one of those parents.
I think I was sticks for a while and then I'm like, well, it's mushy enough. He has four teeth. Let's see what he can do with this. And I gave it to him as a round. And so I would do that and I'd steam carrots too. And then if I took a snack
with me,
I'd take the steamed carrot sticks and I'd take some zucchini along. And then
Melissa, you are just putting us all this game. So she does not put Cheerios in a Ziploc bag,
okay,
people.
I do a little bit of that too.
Okay, but she also puts zucchini sticks and carrot sticks. So this is awesome. We're going to go to our first break. Those are such great tips. And when we come back, we're going to get a recipe from our baker, Melissa Weller. Sorry.
That's okay.
This is for you because she's going to be talking to us about some fruit preservatives that she made. This is the marmalade, Reflections of My Life.
of sunlight to moonlight, reflections of my life. Oh, how they fill my eyes.
The greetings of people in trouble, reflections of my life.
Oh, how they fill my eyes.
The following program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. You may have noticed that one Whole Foods Market store is not like the other. We're proud that each of our stores has its own quirks, a direct connection to the surrounding community, and buys and sells their own products. Whether it's artisanal chocolates exclusive to Bowery, small batch pickles in Chelsea, or a featured craft beer on tap at West 97th, you'll find that each store is a little bit different from the next. With six Manhattan locations, Whole Foods Market offers a taste of every neighborhood. Come see us in Tribeca, Bowery, Union Square, Chelsea, Columbus Circle, or the Upper West Side. Open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. For more information, visit www.wholefoodsmarket.com.
Don't you love when I get faded back in on the guitar solo? It's another growing good episode. We've got Melissa Weller in the studio. Recapping on the first segment, we're talking ages 2 to 3, how to involve them in food preparation, which will create better food manners, but more importantly, healthy food habits. So this is exciting because these are ways to get your kids psyched about eating. You know, I have a lot of friends, parents who I watch them, and I'm sure it's because it's the last resort. They do the whole, and I'm talking about people with, like, you know, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, and they're like, 3 more bites and you can have ice cream, 4 more bites and you can watch TV. And I'm not slamming on those parents because I'm sure that that's their last resort. But I personally am going to try to raise Wally without the whole reward punishment theory, because I just think that that's something that can affect later on in life, like in relationships and in work. Like, that's something that should be rewarded or punished. I don't know. It's just like everybody should just be chill and eat and do what they're supposed to do. So in the first segment, Melissa gave us great ideas about finger foods for toddlers, like zucchini sticks, carrot sticks, sweet potato sticks, things that they can start doing themselves. We also went over about how your child can have a drawer of safe utensil items in the kitchen that they can go in and play with, pots and pans, things that aren't going to hurt them while you're cooking. And then Montessori taught us that you can actually get a placemat that has like a picture of a plate and knives and forks, and a kid can learn to set up their own table, and also that this is the appropriate age at 2 to 3 to bring your child to your dining room table and not have him in a high chair. So Melissa, through her son, and this is what's so great, when the babies are our teachers, found this recipe trying to please him, and it was so amazing that she, it just blew her mind, and her baby loves it, and it's the recipe she's picked to share with me and my audience.
Okay. Do you just want me to go through the recipe?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this recipe, I purchased a book. It's called Mad Hungry, Feeding Men and Boys. And it's by Lucinda Scala-Quinn. And she has this show on the Hallmark Channel about feeding your family. And I just, awesome. I loved all of her ideas. And so this cream spinach recipe came from her book.
Great.
And it's pretty simple. You start out with about, her recipe calls for 2.5 pounds of fresh spinach. And so I try to get organic spinach in those plastic containers. I buy about 3 of those containers. Okay. And you just steam the spinach for about 2 to 4 minutes just to wilt it. Okay. And then as soon as you can handle it, I usually use some kitchen tongs to pull it out of the steamer and set it on a cutting board.
Now, for those of you that don't have a steamer, you can also just put it in a bowl with like an inch of water, in a pan with an inch of water, and cover it, because I don't have a steamer. But
that's a great recommendation. We just have a colander.
Well, you're a professional, so you've got, I know, you've got all the good stuff.
So then you chop up the spinach kitchen, you can set it aside while you make the bechamel sauce. And then for the bechamel sauce, basically you want to make a roux. And a roux is like, you start out by melting butter and some salt in the butter. And then you add, as soon as the butter is melted and sizzling in the pan, you add flour and that thickens it. And you want to cook it for about a minute to thicken up the flour, to cook the flour. And then you slowly start to add milk. And then you pour,
I remember my mom doing this. You have to stir while you're slowly pouring the milk.
Yeah. You want to, you, if
that's the key,
if you slowly add it, otherwise you'll get big clumps that you can't break up. And that's happened to me many times in making this in the last year. You stir it slowly. You slowly add the milk over your flame of your burner, and then it will just gradually thicken up into a nice thick white sauce.
Right.
And then at the very end, you just dump in your spinach that you've already steamed and chopped, and you're done. And it's really simple.
And then obviously you got to give it a little bit of time to cool before giving it to baby.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. You always want to make sure that the food isn't too hot. I know. Yeah. I know. Like, because I'm doing so much cooking, you know, I'll just Wyatt sees me cooking it and he gets so impatient that like I've like taught him like hot.
No, yeah,
this
me
is
too.
Hot. And and he sees the steam, like we point out, look, there's steam coming off the food. And so he'll say steam now and he'll say hot. And so he knows, like, don't eat it just now. I have to wait.
Right. Regardless, though, two safety tips from Mama Sandra here. What I do is I actually don't use the front two burners of my stove anymore. Which makes cooking a little bit longer, but I just don't. Wally can reach there. He never has, but, you know, it's in the back of my mind. So I use the two back burners. And obviously, parents, don't ever leave a flame unattended, no matter what, because at this age, my son will totally take like his Lego box and like bring it over someplace to climb it. Like they will create their own steps. So you don't ever want to leave them unattended.
No, that's true. We also have the plastic covers over the knobs.
Me too. Me too. Those things rule.
Yeah,
when I saw them,
they're
awesome. I was like, oh, okay. So there's these plastic knobs covers, and so many parents don't know about this. And then you take the number, like the little like number dial comes off, and you put the plastic in, and then you put the number dial back on, and there's a plastic cover over. Okay, so moving on, because Melissa, I could talk to you forever. This is so awesome. I can't wait to do all these things when I get home.
Great.
Melissa did another really amazing thing, which she made a lot of fruit preservatives in the summer that lasted her all winter.
Yeah, we're still working on them.
Which is so exciting. So this is, I mean, obviously this is her profession, so she thinks about this a lot. And to us moms who are like not cooks and chefs and bakers, we're like, what? But this winter was really hard for me. I mean, I didn't want to go out because it was snowing, or like Wally had a fever and had a cold. And so, or, you know, you're just not getting to the farmer's market because it's freezing. You want to be careful. I've done the list of the Dirty Dozen, where lots of fruits are on it, apples, citrus, and strawberries, because of the pest. Pesticides that many even claimed organic farmers spray just to preserve them and get them to the store. So share that with us.
So last summer, I love making jams and preserves and any type of fruit preservation. I love doing it. And so last summer I thought, okay, I remember the winter before, like struggling with the baby purees even. I'm like, how do I, like, I want him to be introduced to all of these different fruits, but they're not in season right now. And so I'd be buying the organic peaches in that were frozen in the freezer section. And I'm like, I don't want to do that again. Like, I don't want to do that again. What can I do? And I'm like, well, there's the farmer's market, the green market. And so what I did was, instead of making all jams, I decided I'm going to like preserve some fruits here. And so I one of my favorite books is the River Cottage Preserves book, and it has some great ideas. And one of them that I took was preserving blueberries, because Wyatt loves blueberries.
Well, yeah. And you know what? Blueberries, a blueberry a day keeps the doctor away. It's really true. It's not apples.
Yeah. Blueberries are great. And so what I did was I basically made a very light, simple syrup. So simple syrup is sugar and water, and it makes everything from lemonade to, like, it's the really thick, gooey syrup that
you heated it though?
So it's basically, mine is light, so it doesn't have as much sugar
obviously,
to water. And it also has lemon juice in it, like fresh lemon juice.
So
and
you take
heat
the
it.
Water and the lemon juice and the sugar, and you heat it till it's
just
like a maple syrup type.
Yeah, just to dissolve the sugar, and then you stop right there.
Okay.
And then you take the
blueberry. You could also use maple dough instead of sugar.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
that's
definitely
probably better. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Cool.
And you could use almost any sweetener. The idea is that you want to preserve preserve
the
fruit.
So you could use agave. Isn't that the sweetener without sweetener?
Mm-hmm. Cool. You just want to make sure that you have enough fruit to preserve it so that, and well, actually, I guess you could probably go pretty minimal because there are lots of different like pot, like tomato puree that is canned and preserved without a lot of sugar or no sugar actually. So you basically take your blueberries, you pick through them and put them into like a jar, and then you pour this syrup over them. And then
you don't do anything to the blueberries? You just leave them as is?
You leave them as is, and you pour the syrup over them, and then you basically seal the jar up just enough, and you put it into your oven, you know, in different types of canning methods.
You put the jar in the oven?
The whole glass jar into the oven.
But that doesn't break,
oven.
Or do you have to get special jars?
No, it doesn't break. Canning jars, like just a plain old ball jar. You put it with the lid. You don't tighten the lid all the way. You just tighten it, and then you loosen it back up.
Okay, so you
put them, you're putting them in a water.
So that the steam comes out and doesn't break.
Yeah, but you're also putting them in a water bath in the oven. So it's that water bath that
helps. What's a water bath?
Like, you basically take a big pan.
Okay,
like,
guys. So here we go. For us illiterates, you take a big pan and you put water in it. Then you put the jars tightened, then loosen the top a little bit with the syrup and the blueberries in stacked inside this big water bath.
Yeah, and then you put them in the oven. The oven's preheated really low. Like, I think it's like 200 degrees. I have the recipe, so we can double check. And then you leave them in the oven for a period of time, and that's the actual, you know, when you're, we know when you're making jam and it calls for, like, once you've put the jam in the jar, you're supposed to put it back in this water bath to seal the jar lid. That's basically what you're doing.
Cool.
And so then they last. And so I have
finished
my last blueberry jar. And, you know, they're a little sweeter than, like, they're going to have some sugar in them. Whereas if you get blueberries in the summer, they're plain fruit and there's no sugar. So you have to balance it. You have to balance it. And I just like the idea that I know that it's coming from a farmer and that they've taken care of their fruit. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather give him that option than give him some fruit that came from somewhere far away that I don't know how that fruit was handled.
Right.
And so I did this with a whole bunch of different fruits. I did it with blueberries and apricots and small, tiny
but
little
plums. But with the apricots, obviously. So you have to slice them up.
Diced them. I used them whole. I did them
whole. No way. You're so cool. And you stuck it in the jar.
They're small. Yeah. And then what you do is like, you just stick them in the jar. And then when you're ready to serve them to him, like I did with the tiny little plums, you just, you know, they're soft enough because they've been in the sugar syrup.
Right.
You just pull the little pit out and slice it up. And I usually serve it with yogurt or just plain, like after a meal for like a dessert.
Sure.
And he just like gobbles
and
it up.
And how do you store them once you're, and how long do they cook?
Store them at room temperature.
Let's check the recipe
because I can't remember. It says 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
30 minutes at 300 degrees.
Oh, 300 degrees. Okay. Degrees. And then afterwards, when you were done, where did you store them?
Store them on a shelf. Those Metro racks that I was speaking of earlier, I just had them up high.
And did you have your son help I put the blueberries in?
He was not. Like, well, so he was a little young at that age,
right.
So but he was like interested in all of the fruits, and we did this with tomatoes too.
Could you imagine how cute your shelf looked with your apricots and your blueberries?
Yeah.
And that got her through winter, y'all.
We did applesauce, quince sauce. We just like went crazy. I feel like this next summer I'm gonna go do even more.
You just got finished done.
Yeah.
That's so amazing, Melissa. Thank you so much for being on the show today. That's all the time we have, as usual. I feel like I could talk to you forever and ever, but I've learned so much, and that's the greatest thing about the show is I have so much gratitude to you and all my other moms where I just learned so much. I'm going to go home. I'm going to attempt to preserve my own fruits for Wally for next winter because it's summertime. I'm going to start doing finger foods, but one thing I know for sure is that I am absolutely going to start involving him in my food preparation, always thinking safety first, so that I can create better eating habits. Because, you know, admittingly, breakfast has become a difficult time. Sitting down in his chair, like I said, he's got more strength and independence. So he really has to want to. He has to want to himself to sit there and eat. I no longer can, force him to do it. And you know, all of us parents, we don't like our kids to see them crying or tantruming, so we do give in most of the time. So I just want him to be happy that it's eating time. And I think that some of the things that we've gone over on this show, I'm excited to implement them. I hope that you are too. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
You can always come and taste Melissa's bread and these amazing like cinnamon little buns, glazed buns that she makes at Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick. She is here how many days a week?
5 days a week.
5 days a week making bread for us. Bushwick, New York. Thanks, Melissa.
My
love
pleasure.
And light to you. This is The Marmalade again with Rainbows.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.